Father, thank you so much. You're all we need. Not only are you all we need, you're more than enough for us, Father God. You're the God who's more than enough in our life. We bless you and praise you. You're the God of heaven and you're our Father. You're all, you're everything we need in every situation in life, in every circumstance. You are all we need. Father God, if we have you, we've got everything. So we're not worried about anything. We trust you tonight, looking unto you. And Father, these are your sheep. We are all your sheep. This is your pasture. And so, Father, we just yield ourselves over to you. Yield ourselves. Thank you, Father, for all that's gone before us now and the worship and adoration to you, to your Son, blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you for that work of grace you're doing in each of our lives. Father, thank you for unction tonight, for utterance in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God, for speaking to every heart, every life. Speak into every circumstance, into every situation represented here. Those watching some or listening through some other venue, live stream or some other venue, Father, thank you for speaking into every heart, home, life, circumstance, and situation. You're all we need. And so we thank you for your magnificent word. We thank you that you send your word to accomplish a specific purpose in each life. And we believe that tonight. Your word is perfecting that for which you've sent it. Your word is accomplishing that for which you've sent it tonight. And we, on our part, are not going to be bumps on a log sitting idle. No, we release our faith, knowing that the mighty word of God is coming into our hearts, into our life, and changing us, Father God. Your word is affecting every area of our life. Your word is affecting our finances tonight. Your word's affecting our bodies and minds tonight. Your word's affecting our job tonight. Your word affecting our children. Your word affecting every circumstance that confronts us. Your word, Father God, is giving us divine ability to overcome, to triumph through Christ, through the mighty word of God. Your word's anointed, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Father, speak through your word tonight. And then we thank you for the good Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Where would we be without him tonight? Thank you for the Holy Ghost. And so we just yield ourselves and thank you for blessing, helping your people, everything done in our midst. Thank you for blessing our pastors, all of those who are with them, and continuing to, Father God, just use them mightily, refresh and renew them after their long journey. Father God, protect them, all who are with them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can have your seat. Glory to God. You have your Bible turned to Psalm 32. Psalm 32, tonight's sermon, The Voice, Part 3. The Voice, Part 3. A subtitle to that title might be Learning to Follow the Inward Witness. We spoke along this lines back on May 22nd, Sunday evening, May 22nd, The Voice Part 1, and we didn't expect there to be a Part 2 or a Part 3, but as we concluded that first sermon, then we knew we would have to come back and pick that up again. And a week and 3 days later, on the Wednesday, the 1st of June, then we shared again, The Voice Part 2, and now tonight, the 12th of June, we're sharing this third and I believe final section, The Voice Part 3. So it would really benefit you to get those other two CDs to have the full context of what we're sharing. We're giving out lots of scriptures. Some scriptures we gave before we're not going to give tonight. And so to get the complete context of what we're saying in this message, it would really benefit you to get those other two messages, the one on May 22nd, Sunday evening, the other on June the 1st, Wednesday evening, and now tonight. We left off in Psalm 32, where I had you turn, which is where we're going. When we started out on May 22nd, we started out, don't turn there, just stay right where you are in Psalm 32, but we started out over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, those first 13 verses, where the Lord spoke to the boy Samuel, and he called him, but Samuel didn't know that the Lord was talking to him. And when the Lord called him, Samuel ran to Eli's bedroom and said, "You called me, I'm here." And Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." And then the Lord spoke to Samuel again and said, Samuel, Samuel. And when he called, he ran up and ran to Eli's room. And Eli said, I didn't call you. It wasn't me. Go on back to bed. And then the Lord called him again. Samuel. And when he called him a third time, then Eli realized what was happening. And Eli said, that's not me. It's the Lord calling you. He said, now, when he calls you this next time, he said, you tell him this, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. And he began to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. He learned that sensitivity to the voice of the Lord. We shared with you during that first message, Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our human spirit that we are the children of God. And we began to discuss how God's primary way to lead his children is through the inward witness. Now we've shared, and that's why I say it's good to just get all of those CDs so you keep in context what we're sharing. God can speak to us any way he chooses to. So he can speak prophetically, he can speak tongues, interpretation in tongues, he can speak, you know, with the word of wisdom through a dream or revelation. God can speak, and in my life, God's spoken to me in all those different areas before. But, you know, those things are as the Spirit wills. But when we're talking about the primary leading of the Lord through the inward witness, every believer can follow the Lord and discern the Lord's leading, the Lord's guidance through the inward witness. Amen. And so we said, you know, his word is one way that he leads us. The inward witness is another way that we can always be led by the word, always be led by the inward witness. And we have to remember the Spirit and the word always agree. And then that still small voice of the Lord. And so the Lord wants us all to be more sensitive, what Brother Hagin used to call God inside minded, on the inside. He wants us to be more sensitive to that. And how many know we can all be more sensitive to the Lord on the inside? Anybody, have them raise your hand and say, I could be more sensitive. I could, yeah. And so the Lord, because he's speaking all the time. And so we started out that direction. And then in that first sermon, the voice, then we took you to Acts chapter 1 around verse 26 as the disciples were making a critical decision. They needed to hear from God. They were replacing Judas. Judas had betrayed the Lord, and Peter saw Psalm 69. He found them in Scripture, their place in human history in Scripture, and said, the Lord's telling us we've got to replace Judas. And so they had to hear from heaven. They had two people they put forth, Matthias and I forget the other brother's name. They put two people forth, and they prayed over them, Lord, which of these do we choose? But Acts 1:26, they pulled lots to decide. They pulled lots. The Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. And so that was a normal thing that was done in the Old Testament. Go back and read Proverbs 16:33. It talks about how the lot, man pulls the lot, but the decision comes from the Lord. It was a common practice because only the prophet, the priest, and the king in the Old Testament had the Spirit of God residing upon them. The rest of the people had, you know, the Spirit would come sometimes. And so they didn't have, and they didn't live in the day and age in which you and I live. Today, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would be, speaking of this day, the Holy Ghost would be in us, would be in us and would remain in us. And we have that blessed anointing, if you're a born again believer, of the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you. I said, he's not getting up and leaving. He's not getting up and running off and coming back and getting up and coming. No, he's there to stay. Somebody said, I don't feel him. Well, he promised that he was there to stay. It don't matter what you feel. I said, if you're a born again believer, he's down on the inside of you. You couldn't be born again without that. He's your anchor. The Holy Ghost has been given as a down payment, as a pledge of our eternal inheritance. Thank God. Aren't you glad about that? And so if you wake up tomorrow morning and you don't feel him, guess what? You don't have to feel him. You got a promise. You got something more sure than a feeling. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, I took a vitamin, but I didn't feel the vitamin. Amen. I didn't start checking that. I don't feel the vitamin. So we dealt with that on the 22nd of May. And then when we came on the 1st of June, we started in Acts 15 with this phrase, it seemed good. And at that time, on the 1st of June, we highlighted Acts 15, verse 22, says it seemed good. Acts 15:22, 15:25, 15:28, and 15:34. All use that same phrase. It seemed good. They were making it. The disciples were making an incredibly important decision. How? What standard should be used for someone to receive Christ? Do you receive Christ by faith alone, or do you have to convert to Judaism? They needed to hear from heaven. They didn't cast lots this time like they did in Acts 1:26. No, 15:22. 15:25, 15:28, 15:34. The Bible says it seemed good. Said it seemed good to them and the Holy Ghost. And that's how they made that decision, implying that they were following that inward leading, that inward witness. Amen. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. And then that same night, June the 1st, we went over and we read from Acts 16, verses 6 and 7. And then even 10, where the disciples on that missionary journey, that second missionary journey, were attempting to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Ghost said, no, don't do that. They were attempting to go into Mysia, but the Spirit of God said, no, don't do that. And they were trying to get into that area of Asia to go and share the word, but the Holy Spirit told them, don't do that. And it certainly was not that the Holy Ghost didn't want the Asians to hear the word of God, because Acts 19:10 says they preached the word 2 years in Asia and everybody in Asia heard the word. But there was a reason that God was leading them, don't go there. And so we said the Lord can lead us in a spectacular way if that's his choice, as the Spirit wills, if he leads us. But he didn't tell us to go seeking some spectacular way to be led. Can I get amen there? If you seek after a spectacular way when the Lord didn't tell us to seek a spectacular way, then we'll get fleeced. But we have a supernatural way to be led. God on the inside. In 2003, I was at a car show and I was getting ready. I was ascertaining if I was going to buy a car the next year. We went to a car show right here in the city of Tulsa. And I wanted to see a particular car at that car show, because at that car show I had heard that in 2004 that the Maximas were going to come out with a new body style, and that they were going to offer for the first time an internal navigation unit. And I wanted to see it. And they had it here in Tulsa, and they had one sitting there and had the navigation in there. And that's just old hat today. Most people either have a navigation thing that they purchased, you know, either with their car, or you can buy them, you know, as an add-on or whatever. Most people, it's just, you know, pretty common. It's not uncommon for somebody to find a navigation system in a car today. But in 2003, it was. And man, I saw that navigation system, and I said, ooh, boy, I like that right there. And when that car came out in 2004, I bought one of those cars, and I said, I want the navigation unit. And whatever you get, they couldn't find one. They had to order it from the factory. But then that navigation unit in 2000, when I bought that 2004 Maxima, the navigation unit cost $2,700. Just to show you, just brand new. And I gladly paid. And that was something just to be guided. You just put an address in there, and the thing just guides you and just starts speaking. It seems common, it's ordinary now. But back in 2004, I was like, go ahead, go preach, girl, preach. That thing was guiding me. And then it got even better, because on my phone, I had an app on my OnStar app on my phone, and you could put an address into MapQuest and it would send it to the car before you got to the car. And somebody could give me their address. I put it in the phone, it sent to the car. I start the car and there come the thing. Woo! That navigation system was something. $2,700. That navigation system, commonplace today, doesn't have a thing on what God has given to you and I. We have a Holy Ghost navigation system down on the inside, I'm telling you, and you can't beat it with a stick. The Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He's God's navigation to you. And the thing about it, to learn how to use it, it had a whole big thick manual when it first came out. You know, I'm sure they've simplified them, but it had a whole big thick manual. And I would stay out there hours reading the manual how to use that thing. My family said, you keep reading that? I said, you know, I paid $2,700 for that. I'm going to learn how to use it. Amen. It's worth me learning how to use it. Because you don't get the benefit. If you don't know how to use it, then you don't get some benefit. You can get lost and turned around, and you don't have to be lost. You can need answers and need direction. You don't have to be without answers and direction. You might need to know what to do on a given situation, and you don't have to be without the answer to know what to do. God has got a Holy Ghost navigation system down on the inside of your belly. And the Bible said, John chapter 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living. I wish I had an amen in here. And so we left off talking about five things, five areas that if we're not careful can make us dull and less sensitive to the inward leading of the Holy Ghost. And the first one we gave you was the failure to repent. This is where we left off on the 1st of June, Wednesday night, the 1st of June. The failure to repent. And right here, Psalm 32, verse 5, I'm not going to read that again because I covered that night, but the failure to repent will leave you dry as a morsel, will leave you unsensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. The failure to repent, just like I said here in 32 verse 5, it will leave you dried up, will leave you just inwardly without that ability to discern what God is saying to you. And so the failure to repent will keep you from being sensitive to the Holy Ghost, keep you from being sensitive to the inward witness. Secondly, the failure to forgive. We gave you Mark 11, 25, and 26. The failure to forgive will keep us from being sensitive, keep us from being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. It'll be dull. You won't get it. It'll just seem so distant to you. The failure to forgive. Third, the failure to read and meditate in the Word of God will dull our spiritual senses to the leading of the Holy Ghost. The failure to read and meditate in the Word of God. Matthew 4:4, don't turn there. John chapter 1, verse 3. Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, and it's not verse 3, it's verse 8. So Matthew 4:4, Joshua 1:8, and Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, all talk about meditating in the Word of God. God told Joshua, meditate in the Word day and night, and then you'll be successful. Amen. God knew it back then. He knew the power of His Word. So the failure to read and meditate in the Word of God will make us dull and insensitive to the leading, the inward witness of the Holy Ghost. And number four was the failure to pray. The failure to pray specifically in the Spirit. Failure to pray in the Spirit will leave us dull and insensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. And here you could highlight 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14 and 15. I'm going to turn there and quote those real quick. 1 Corinthians now, 1 Corinthians starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about things that can make us, five areas that can make us dull and insensitive to the leading and the inward witness of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. One translation for that word mysteries there at 1 Corinthians 14, 2. One translation for that is answers. In other words, you could read it like this and still be accurate. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks answers. You might be speaking. See, when you take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost, you might be speaking out your answer. And see, the more that we pray in the Holy Ghost, the greater we get a knowing down on the inside. You take the time to read the Word, take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost, and a knowing will come to you. You say, well, how long will that take? Can I get that by the time my popcorn is ready in the microwave? I don't know. That depends on how yielded and sensitive and how much praying you done. Maybe you've yielded yourself and maybe you're right there. If you're yielded, then it don't take that long to get your tongue and spirit hooked back up. But if it's been a while since you're really yielded, it might take you a little time to get over there in that realm and to get your tongue and your spirit hooked up together. You understand what I'm saying? And so don't put any time limit on that. I would encourage you to set aside extra time to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just set aside extra time. I was teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Peru back in 2011, and the pastor had told me that he and his wife were filled with the Holy Ghost, but his church was not a small church, new church, and they had 30 leaders, his 30 leaders. He said, would you mind speaking on the baptism? He said, I don't know how to do it. I'm not sure what to say about it. I'm not sure how to teach it. Would you mind teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost just to my leaders? So we sent the students out in evangelistic campaigns in the morning, and then I spoke to the leaders 2 hours every morning for 3 days. And at the end of 6 hours of teaching, then we laid hands on them, and 28 of the 30 instantly received. And one came back later, had received, and one came back a couple of days later and had received. But of the 28 that instantly received, one young man came to the next meeting the next night, and he said, now that I found out I can pray in the Holy Ghost anytime I want, he said, I stayed up all night and prayed in the Holy Ghost. He came to the meeting fired up. You remember, I think just last Sunday night, when Pastor Tad at the altar call had a young man come forward. He prayed for him, and that man received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Pastor Tad stopped him for a moment from praying in other tongues and then had him start again and demonstrated to him, you can do this anytime you want. It's a powerful demonstration. And so praying in the Holy Ghost will help us be sensitive. Therefore, failure to take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost will make us less sensitive, will make our sensitivity to his leading dull, will make the knowing that we should have, being able to unbraid our human thoughts with worldly thoughts from the enemy, with our spiritual thoughts from God, being able to unbraid all of that. Listen, it'll be harder to do it if you don't take time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll be speaking out answers. Brother Hagin said one time he was praying in the spirit, and his hand started going in a slow motion like that, and then started going in a bigger circular motion. Anybody ever heard him tell that story? He's praying in the spirit, and his fingers started in a real small circular motion, then got bigger. And then I remember in class, he said, just got as big, just move my arm just as big as I could move it, he said. But then the Lord gave him an interpretation of what he was praying in the spirit. And the Lord was telling him, in the latter days of your ministry, the primary move of your ministry is going to come through your books and through your tapes going all around the world. And of course, you look up all around the world today, what do you see? Brother Hagin's books and tapes and CDs all over the world. Well, that came out while he was praying in other tongues. They knew what to emphasize and what direction to go because he was praying in other tongues. And you'll know what to do. You'll know what to emphasize. You'll know what job to take. You'll know what to say no to as you take the time to pray in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude 20 said, building ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Said amen. Amen. And so it's so important to take that time. But still here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, he said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Down at verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. But particularly verse 14 and 15. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding or the mind. Now, we're reading from New King James tonight. You know, New American Standard is my favorite version, and oftentimes we share New Living or New American Standard. So we're reading from New King James tonight. But listen, he said, listen, I'm going to pray in the spirit. And he said, I'm going to pray with my understanding or my mind. And then he also says, verse 15, I'm going to sing in the spirit and I'm going to sing with my mind. Amen. Said both those things are critically important. And the more we do that, see, the greater the sensitivity, well, the greater knowing, we'll have a knowing on the inside. Now, I remember, you know, when I first came over into, not salvation, I remember when I first came over into salvation, but when I came over into the things of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and man, when I got baptized with the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, and then found out what Pastor Tad was demonstrating to that young man last week, that you can pray in the Holy Ghost anytime you want. Oh, man, we started just taking time and we wake up early and we just pray. One time we just started saying, well, man, let's see if we could just get and pray all night long. And, you know, several of us were just trying to press into the Holy Ghost. One night actually did, just prayed all night long in the Holy Ghost. And you may not feel anything naturally. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, don't matter. God never promised us a feeling. He promised us the power and the anointing. You may not feel anything, whether you do, whether you don't matter. But I'll tell you what will happen to you. You'll have a greater knowing on the inside. You'll know some things and say, oh, no, that ain't right. Or you'll know, yes, I should do that. And you'll just have a knowing. You'll have a knowing of what to do, of which way to go, which way to turn. And so it's so very important. Number five, we didn't give this point. The failure to believe and act upon what God has said. Failure to believe and act upon what God has said will cause us to be dull and insensitive to his voice and to the inward witness. The failure to believe and act upon what the Lord has said. Sometimes you'll find what the Lord said when you read the word. Something will lift off the pages of scripture and it'll be God speaking to you. God will give you a rhema word. I said amen.
Amen.
Sometimes God will just impress you and you'll just know on the inside, don't do that. Or you'll know you should do that or go in that direction. And as I say, the more you read and meditate in the word of God, the more you stay, keep your heart right, forgive and walk in forgiveness, walk in repentance and read and meditate in the word and pray in the Holy Ghost, and the more you'll know. But the failure to believe and act upon what the Lord has said is so critically important. And the failure to do that will leave us with a dullness and an insensitivity to the Holy Ghost, an insensitivity to the inward witness. Go with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. I didn't quote the scripture here in Acts 32, did I? I mean, in Psalm 32. Just go to Acts 27. We'll come back to Psalm 32. Acts 27. The failure to believe and act upon what the Lord has spoken. Paul was on a freight ship, cargo ship. He was also carrying passengers, 276 people on board the ship. You know this story by now, most of you. This ship got into, they were sailing in probably what was late October. And that was not the time to sail. And they ran across dangerous headwinds. And they finally made it to a port called Fair Havens, and they were attempting to get to one more port, trying to winter there. Acts 27, verse 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there." And so Paul, on the inside, the Bible says he perceived. I perceive there's gonna be a great accident, loss of cargo, loss of life. He's just a prisoner on the boat. The owner of the ship is on board. He knows something about sailing. He's the owner of the ship. The captain of the ship is on board. He knows something about sailing. He's the captain of the ship. And they were wondering, Paul, where are you getting your information from? We've been trained in the skills of navigation, and you don't have any credibility on this issue. You're just a prisoner. You're with 276. You're the 276th person, and you a prisoner at that. And they refused to accept his advice. He came up saying, "I perceive there's going to be loss of cargo, loss of our lives too." He perceived something. Something didn't seem right. Something didn't seem good on the inside. What he perceived, it didn't seem good. It didn't seem right. And he was saying, "I perceive it's not going to go well." And yet they took a vote from the majority. And let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost, who is our navigator, who is your navigator, when God, the Holy Spirit, starts speaking to you about something, it don't matter what the majority told you. You might as well let that go. I said, when the Holy Ghost start telling you something that and the majority start telling you, you better let it go. I remember one time the chief financial officer of a company I worked for, he told me in his car, we were in his Jaguar. He told me, he said, "Bill, whatever you do in the next few months, don't you leave this company." And he told me the company was getting ready to get bought out. And he said, "We're buying offices not far from here." And he said, "We already got your office picked out." And he said, "Not only that, you're going to be driving a company car, and we got all kind of plans for you." He said, "I saw the plans to your office the other day in my office." He said, "Whatever you do in these next few months, don't you leave here." Now, how many know that's a pretty good word? The chief financial officer of the company, man, he was one of the seven owners of that company. He was a millionaire. And he told me, man, that seemed right. The leather in that Jaguar smelled right. But the Lord told me in an elevator, right after that, "It's time for you to go back to Raymond. It's time for you to give this job up." I had completed 1 year, started working in business, was doing real well. And man, the sky was the limit, but I hadn't gone my second year. And the Lord told me, in the elevator, in between floors, the only one in the elevator, "Go back to Rhema." Just go back to Rhema. Just felt it. I dropped to my knees in the elevator in between floors and said, "God, I'll do it." And when they found out I was leaving, they said, "You would be a fool. You would be a fool." They said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to Bible school." They said, "You're going to give up this job, this career, and go to Bible school? You would be a fool." My boss, he was a vice president. He said, "Bill, think about it. What if your wife gets pregnant? Look at the salary you're making. Look at the people that you're over and all the things happening. We believe in you here. You can't just get that anywhere." I remember Howie, he was over another department. Howie, his department, dismantled his department. He got another promotion doing something else. They dismantled his department, put all his employees under me, and my department at that time, I think it tripled. And then the senior vice president called me to his office and said, "Bill, I've been talking to you for months. I think you can run consumer affairs as well." He said, "What you're doing, you could still manage down there, and you could come up here and run the consumer affairs office. But the Lord told me, go back to Rhema." And so, with everybody there thinking I was the outright fool, I listened to what I had down on the inside. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord has blessed me again and then again and then again and then again and then again. And when we started working with FedEx and we had so much success with the Lord's blessing and help and grace at FedEx, people said, "Man, you know, how did you get?" You know what I always think? I'd always think about what the Lord told me in that elevator. Because we were making way more at FedEx than they were ever promising to pay me. And what we gave up there, God more than multiplied back to us. I said more than multiplied back to us. And so, what you perceive, the more you pray in the Holy Ghost, you'll start to perceive. There'll be a knowing of some things down on the inside. "Well, preacher, how long is it going to take me to get there?" I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But I do know this. If you'll stay at it, And some situations you got to pray and then you got to go to bed because you got to get up and go to work and then come on back when you got an extra 15 minutes, an extra 30 minutes, and then come on back and take it up again and hang in there until you get the victory. I remember August the, I'll close with this story tonight. August the 5th, I married my son Steve and my daughter-in-law Amy on a cruise ship. And August the 4th, we were leaving for Florida. We always try to, when we go on cruise, try to get there a day early. Now, I shared a cruise story in my last message, but this is a different story. We're going there, and we're going to get there the day before their wedding. All of our relatives are meeting us in Florida. We're all meeting, at our hotel. They're all coming over to the Hyatt. We're going to have a big old pizza party for the kids and all of our relatives. That's starting at 5. I've got agreement with the pizza guy making the pizzas and everything. And so anyway, we left out. The kids, we got everybody picked up, and we headed to the airport. And it seems like it's a normal morning. On the way there, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, I ask you to give us safety. Father, I ask you to bless us today. Father, direct our steps. Father, on every flight, help us. Now, we got plenty of time. And in the car, everybody's chatting it up. My wife, the kids, they're all chatting. But I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, just checking in with the Lord. And I'm telling you, down on the inside, oh man, I got a burden to pray. The radio's up. I turned the radio down. I started praying. Oh, man, I got a burden to pray. And I'm praying fast and furious in the Holy Ghost, and we're on the way to the Tulsa airport. And I didn't know what was wrong. I just kept praying, just kept praying, just kept praying, just kept praying. But after probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 minutes, the burden lifted, and I'm going to tell you, a peace from heaven hit me. And I shifted from praying in tongues to singing in other tongues. Amen. I started singing in the Holy Ghost. Just felt like, you said, what were you singing? I don't know. I was just singing in the Holy Ghost. One hand on the wheel, one hand in the air, saying, thank you, Father. I was singing in the Spirit. I showed you that over in 1 Corinthians 14, you remember. We looked at verse 15 and 14. I was singing in the whole. Paul said, I'll sing with my mind and I'll sing in the Spirit. And you know, as you learn to be led by the Holy Ghost down on the inside, oftentimes when there's a burden, when you get a breakthrough, you'll sense that because there'll be a release on the inside of you and you'll want to praise God. You'll want to sing out to God. You'll want to do something to rejoice in God. You might get up and dance a jig. You might get up and sing in English. You might get up and sing in the Holy Ghost, but whatever it is, let it go. I said, let the river flow. And so as best I could, driving to the airport, I'm letting the river flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had peace all over me. When we pulled up to that airport, there was a line. I've never seen a line that long before, and I've never seen a line that long since. That line snaked around. You know, they have the normal little guidance little things where you walk up to the counter or to the ticket things. But this line was before you get to any of that. That line snaked around, zigzagged back out to the door. I said, oh no. And I was dropping the family off. I was going back to find parking to park the car and just meet them, just letting them get in line. And you say, well, what happened? Well, then the line was so long. They said, anybody on this flight, there was like three flights in line, three different flights. They said, anybody who's on this particular flight, you're not going to make this flight. We'll book you later. You'll get there seven or eight that night. Now, we couldn't go seven or eight that night. We got a pizza party planned at 5. I got pizza. This guy got, the guy's baking for me. He's making all these pizzas. I got salad. I got all kind of stuff to get. So they said, get out of line. We're going to rebook all of you. And all the people got out of line, and the line was still long. And so I remember my wife looked at me and she said, what do you want me to do? And I said, you stay in that line. Because I had a sky cap and I got the sky cap. And I told her, I said, listen, you are my angel today. And she said, oh, sir, I don't think I'm going to be able to get you. And I said, you're my angel. And so she went and she, She tried to get them to take those tickets. They wouldn't take the tickets. She went to the other side. There was two ticket agents working, doing the best job they could at Delta. She went to the other side. They said, no, we got all these people. She went to the other side. They said, no, she bought all the tickets back to me. Said, sir, I tried for you. I said, listen to me. You are my angel. We're going to get on that flight. My family was saying, Dad, should we get out of line? I said, you stay in that line. I said, you are my angel. We're getting on that flight. I said, listen, just take them one more time. She said, I already took them twice. I said, just take them one more time. Take them one more time for me. Just one more time. She said, okay, sir, but I don't think, I said, I understand. Just take them one more time. And so she went over there and just stood, and they just ignored her. She had all our tickets. They just ignored her. They were helping the next person in line. And so they kept saying, do you want us to, no, stay in line. Now you say, why were you being so stubborn and obstinate? You could say pig-headed. Well, it could be that in the natural, if you're not following the Holy Ghost, it could be all of that stubborn, pig-headed, obstinate. But that's not what it was that day. What it was is I had had it on the inside. I had got that on the way to the airport. I had gotten a note of victory. And when I pulled up, I knew that's what all that was for. My divine Holy Ghost guidance system already knew what was waiting at the airport. Even though we were just chatting, having a good time, we didn't know we weren't going to get on that flight. We didn't know we weren't going to make it. And then, but the Holy Ghost knew. But because I checked in with him, well, now look, he showed me. No, and when I had the note of victory, I went there with confidence. When I saw the line, it did not discourage me. I remembered the victory that I had. I prayed out a note of victory. I prayed out a note of victory. And so we just stayed with it. And she went over there and she stood again and she stood again and she stood again. And finally, I was watching. Finally, the ticket agent, they were helping somebody else, and they just said, give me those. And they just put all our tickets in, and we were like the last people to board that plane. Made the flight, made the party, had everything, had fun marrying the kids out on the cruise ship the next day, and everything went well. Thank God for the Holy Ghost navigation system. I said, there's a Holy Ghost navigation system on the inside of you. Father, we've endeavored with the time that we've had to share with your people, and we realize you're trying to get a point across to them, not just corporately, but individually. And those watching and listening another way, you're speaking. You're speaking to those here. You're speaking to those there. Oh, now, Father, where we've missed it, we just repent. Amen. Father God, where we've missed it. Now, if you missed it somewhere, just repent. Father, we just repent. And Father God, we pray that you'll speak again where you've already spoken, maybe. You've already spoken to some. You've already directed. Some failed to do what you said. Some failed to act upon. Some failed to believe. But Father God, we thank you for helping them, blessing them, guiding them through the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Just like Paul said in Acts 27, I believe God, it's going to be just like it was spoken to me. And Father, I know somebody here is saying, I believe God, it's going to be just like it was spoken to me. We trust you, yield ourselves over to you, and trust that you'll continue to speak to people along these lines. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. With every head still bowed, and just for a moment, if you're here and you're not right with God, he's dealing with you, and you know that. Maybe you're a Christian and you're not living in fellowship with God. Let me see your hand. You say, Brother Bill, I want to make it right with God. I want to get right with God. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Lift your hand. You want God to help you. Don't resist him now. If you take one step, he'll take two and he'll help you. But you can't be ashamed. We want to give you that chance before we go. Father, I don't see any hands tonight, but you know who you're dealing with, and we just trust that you'll continue to guide them and speak to them. If God's speaking to you, don't keep resisting him. Sometimes there's a consequence to do that. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, that's our time for tonight. And, you know, we've endeavored to cover a lot of different ground. But let the Lord, I know God's dealing with some people in here. I know that. And I'll say this as we go. Look, the challenge to what we're saying is God wants us to be closer to him next week than we are this week. Closer next month than we were last month. Closer at the end of this year than we were at the end of last year. More sensitive to him. You and I have everything to do with that. We need some pushback time from our schedule and spend a little extra time with him, and you'll find your greater sensitivity on the inside. All right. Did we have any first-time guests, Pastor? We did. Okay. So let's have our connection team go and escort our first-time guests to a room where we're just going to give you a gift. You say, what are we going to that room for? They're going to give you a nice gift. You said, how long am I going to be there? Just a very short amount of time. They're going to thank you for coming and give you a great gift on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and the entire congregation. So if you'll go with them, they'll give you that gift. We're going to give you a moment to get there so the crowd doesn't mow you over, so to speak, on their way out. So let's thank all of our first-time guests again. All right, stand up on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, thank you again now. Unto our King, eternal, immortal, invisible, our only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, keep everybody safe as they go home. All those in Oklahoma City, keep them safe till we see each other again. We'll continue to trust you and follow you. Continue to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my brother and sister, you are dismissed. God bless you. Remember all the things we're praying about this week. Keep